Well, good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arkin. That's Andy Hart. It is a Patriots Monday. We are live at Gillette Stadium. Not up in the swanky suites or anything. No, no, no. We're down here in studio where we always are, where we'll be talking with Jacoby Brissett, who will be live in studio with us, I think. We'll get more on that in a minute. Also, Jonathan Jones scheduled to talk with us today as well. Patriots lose to the Miami Dolphins. You call it the ugliest game ever you've ever seen. I don't know. There was a three-game stretch last year where this could end up being like part of that. You know, this could end up being part of a stretch as bad, but there was a three-game stretch last year where they lost 10-6, 10-6, and 6-0, or 10-7, or whatever it was. The Germany game, the Giants game, and then that Chargers game. Mm-hmm. And all three of those games I thought were worse than yesterday. Not by a lot. But that's really it. I mean, I think that you're talking about bottom of the barrel type of stuff here. You're talking about as bad as this team's ever looked in their entire history, really. And that goes back to the early 90s. That goes back to the AFL. You know, like we're talking about all-time bad football. And you saw it on display yesterday. We'll get through all the ups and downs of the game. There were a couple of ups. There were a couple of things that happened that you looked at and thought, all right, well, you know, an interception, a blocked punt, you know, things like that that were positive. But for the most part, it was an unwatchable mess at Gillette Stadium yesterday.
Yeah, I stand by it was the worst game I've ever seen because I have never seen two quarterbacks, all three phases, two teams be so inept. I thought it was ineptitude across the board, save for maybe running the ball a little bit for both teams. But the penalties, what they have combined penalties, 20-something penalties, the mistakes, the idiocy, and again, the poor quarterback play when you're watching what probably were the two worst quarterbacks in the NFL that are starting currently going at it on the field.
18 penalties combined, by the way. 12 Patriots, 6 for the Dolphins.
Felt like more than that. They were flagged. And I included the referees in that. I thought they were pretty bad as well. There were some questionable calls. That was as lacking of entertainment value. Like, you can have blowouts where one team is horrific, but usually somebody's making plays.
Right.
Somebody's doing something to wow you in a memorable, positive fashion. You didn't really get that. I mean, other than maybe Christian Gonzalez's interception, that was a really nice play. And then there was that weird two-play stretch later where he almost had the second interception. Tyreek Hill knocks it out. Then Tyreek Hill almost has the touchdown.
Yeah.
And Christian Gonzalez shoves him out, and he's not. There was like, oh, I was like, whoa, was that entertainment? Was there entertainment value in this game for a second there? But from start to finish, and I include the fans and players and coaches who didn't know the rules on the Jalen Polk would-be touchdown, non-touchdown.
That was embarrassing. I don't even really want to talk about that today because it was just...
There was a pool freaking report.
It was a big play, but like, Jesus, people, that was very clearly out of bounds. It broke my heart, too, but come on. If the foot doesn't land all the way in bounds and the whole foot goes down, then that's the way it's always been. I'm not even like... You know, like old-timers are like, oh, yeah, that's the way it's always been. It's true. That's the way ever since the forward pass was invented and the sidelines was there. If you get your foot down and the whole foot comes down, if you toe tap, fine. You toe tapped.
Right.
But whatever makes contact with the ground, the whole thing has to be in bounds. And his wasn't. And that's it.
But did you see the response on social media? Did you? I mean, half the players didn't know the rule. I was surprised reporters, aged reporters, people that have been covering the NFL and football for 20, 30, 40 years, didn't know the rule. And I feel like I've seen it discussed a million times. I always, in my mind, Chris Collinsworth has talked about that play. Like, he almost has that, oh, it's going to be the old toe heel or heel toe. Like, and he just like chuckles about it because he almost knows that some people are going to dispute it. Like, I had people on Twitter, what do you mean it was obvious? Well, what if his foot hadn't come down and he had just tapped it? And
then it would have been a touchdown.
Then it's a totally different play than what happened in front of you.
If that had happened, then yes, we'd all be celebrating.
But
right now.
We all saw what happened, and it really is no different than Isaiah Likely in week one in Kansas City. It's just the foot went heel-toe instead of toe-heel. It's the same rule. And I actually thought it was so obvious, I was surprised it was called a touchdown live. There's a guy standing right there that he sees half a foot land out of bounds. I don't really know why. Maybe just because it was late and it's like, let's just err on
that's
the side
what
they
err of on, and we'll right? review, I guess. And you can look back at it, of course.
But
I think that's
like,
the reason
you
why.
You shouldn't err on that. You can see that it's not a touchdown, but to me, that added to the whole day because the whole crowd booed. They put it on the scoreboard, and you're like, wow. I don't know how many people were left at that point. I don't think it was necessarily 60,000, but 50,000, 40,000, whatever was left, were booing like, wow, they really have no idea what they're looking at.
Can we talk about that throw, too, by the way?
I mean, Polk's wide open sitting in the middle of the end zone. He throws it 20 feet in the air.
Well, that's why he's going to be soon-to-be former quarterback of the England Patriots.
Like, for all the time.
And that's not the worst one.
Polk's got to get his foot down. How about you just deliver the ball to a guy who's standing wide open literally in the center of the end
zone? But he's Jacoby Brissett. He's a journeyman backup. Yeah. Like, the one thing he's supposed to be is pro-ready, game-ready, knows what he's doing. What exactly was supposed to happen on the throw to Hunter Henry to end the game?
I don't know. Like, you had Pop Douglas screaming toward the sideline.
Or if you had had a hook and a ladder or something. I have no idea what was supposed to happen there other than what happened. He catches it and...
And we're going home.
Well, the game's over.
That is the end. Again. Yeah. Like, Sarge comes on over the PA like, that's it, everybody. You're done. Yeah.
That right there was so... unbelievable to me. Like, the throw, a bad throw can happen. He's Jacoby Brissett. He's not Tom Brady. Like, right. I don't assume every throw is going to be great. So many things. Like, the Keon White, the penalties, the back-to-back in that short span where he has the horse call. Okay, physical play, you want to make a tackle. Oh, you're rushing a passer, you got overzealous, and you kind of launched yourself. But Jacoby Brissett, like, how'd you think that was going to play out differently than the clock just... Like, that was so...
Maybe
that was sad trombone.
He'd, like, gronk those guys out of the way and just make...
But he's not gronk.
No kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, Hunter Henry, love him, mean it. But when have you ever thrown it to him thinking, oh, he'll break a couple tackles and get 10 extra yards? And, you know, that's not who he is. It's never been who he's been. So that was just the icing on this abysmal cake.
Yeah, the Patriots had two turnovers in this game. They won the turnover battle 2-0, and they lost. And they lost 15-10. And the only touchdown they got was on the short field. Like, that same thing happened last week. Their scoring plays come on these short fields, special teams maybe giving them a boost, something on the defense, whatever it is. And we'll get, to the defense, because despite the low score, that last drive by the Dolphins with that quarterback and that line and everything that just pushing you around and running into the end zone there with the fullback, I think it was, like, that was...
Whoa, not the, like, don't be dismissive. Fullback, Ingold.
Yeah, Alec Ingold, the fullback, I don't know.
He deserved it. He was leading and they ran it right down your throat.
Yeah.
Right down.
They got bullied at the end of that game.
Absolutely, and it's a lot like the Seattle game. Yeah. I actually heard Jones and Keith say you've had three bad losses in a row. To me, you've had four. The Seattle game was winnable, but it was a bad loss. You gagged it away, and even in overtime, we've talked about this.
They gagged this away. They had a lead in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this one was, I don't even know. Gag away, did they feel like they had a lead? I know the score said they had a lead, but it didn't really feel like anybody was leading. This was another game that played out exactly how we predicted. The two worst teams in football. What did Ross Tucker? The basement bowl?
Yes.
The toilet bowl I saw on Twitter, all these various divisive words being used for this game. But it's what we expected. Like, clearly Mike McDaniel looks frustrated. Snoop Huntley is not good. He didn't look much better having had a little extra time.
Mm-mm.
There was...
They didn't, like, put an offense together for him.
No.
Run around and, get guys the ball in space. Like, none of that was happening.
Nope. And both
he did
teams...
He did hit Hill a couple of... So, obviously, the Patriots are getting back, and he did have a couple of big plays that picked up first down. So, it's not like he couldn't do anything. But,
yeah, no, there was that one, like, in cut where Gonzo was on him, and they were like, wow, the safeties are really deep. They're really respecting the speed of Hill here. Mark Sanchez, also not good, but he had a field day. Seemingly kind of mocking the Patriots a lot of the time.
I think that was cathartic for him, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like he kind of got off on mocking the Patriots and seeing. He even had the comment about, I went to practice and I saw a lot of this dysfunction on the practice field, which I want to ask our two guests today. And I'll say our two guests because I'm assuming it's Jones and I don't know who the other guest will be.
Right.
I'd be happy to talk to Jacoby Brissett because he's a nice man. I'd also be happy to talk to Drake May because he's the new starting quarterback, fingers crossed, heading into the game against the Texans.
Or Joe Milton comes in.
I don't really want to talk to Joe Milton. Not going to lie to you. No disrespect, Joe Milton, but... I mean,
I think just the spectacle of him walking in here would be... I'd be excited about that.
Plus, he'll make me look really little.
He's a large
he is
fella.
A massive human being.
But I would not have a whole lot of questions for, like, you know, after, oh, wow, so when did you find out you were going to start? I wouldn't know what else to ask Joe Milton.
I feel like we'd be asking about Brissett and May with Milton in here.
All our questions just like, so what do you think about this?
So you got a mutiny on your hands in there. What do you think about it as a third-string rookie backup six-string quarterback, six-round quarterback?
The penalties you mentioned, 12 men on the field on a punt return?
Gross. I mean, absolutely gross.
Jesus.
I don't know this how it happens.
Where is the discipline? Where is anything? Like, this is, if it's not a mutiny, because I heard you on the Six Rings last night, and...
Hey, thanks for listening.
I was. It was you and Chime that I mostly heard. I don't even know when Fitzy got there, but I was listening to you talk about how it didn't appear as though that was a team mid-mutiny on the field.
No.
They weren't quitting. They weren't throwing the coach overboard or anything like that. They're just not good.
Do you agree?
And I think that's an indication of it, all the penalties. I don't think you do that on purpose. You don't do that to try and throw the game. You know, I have 12 men on the field.
But it's unacceptable.
All the holdings, all the movement and all that stuff. It's unacceptable, but that's who they are. That, to me, doesn't point to a mutiny.
No, I
like,
think
a mutiny is like pulling up on tackles and not, you know, alligator arm and balls.
Business
and stuff
decisions.
Like that. I didn't see him doing a lot of that.
No.
It was just general incompetence, I guess, is my point.
General incompetence is a great way to put it. I think they fought to the finish, and I think they were trying to win from Brissett to Henry. Like, Hunter Henry had that terrible penalty. I don't know if it mattered or not, but how do you false start with the game on the line? They're on the 10-yard line or whatever. Like, how? You're a wide receiver. It's not like you're trying to – you got Julius Peppers or some elite edge rusher or T.J. Watt, and you're trying to block. Nope, you were going to run a pass route. You were out wide on 2 feet. And I know he's a great professional. Like, this, we all make mistakes, but it just feels like it's spreading. Like, it's that poison ivy, and it's just kind of spreading all over the team of – and they're itchy, and they're bad.
Yeah.
And the Uche one...
It spread into the crowd, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They were booing yesterday.
I mean, they should.
Yeah.
If you paid... And I go back to this.
It's a beautiful day. But
it was a beautiful day, and you wasted it at Gillette Stadium.
Because
you got no return on your investment of time or money. You were not entertained at all. You didn't even get garbage time, Drake May, or something you could tell your friends about. Like, I mean, literally the only thing you could tell your friends about that is, I may have watched the worst game in the history of the NFL. I got to see it in person and live. And... this is entertainment. I'll go back to that. I know they're competing and they're rebuilding and they want to win titles and get back to that. And Robert Kraft wants to make money and it's a business. But from a viewer perspective, before you can win, you know how Bill says before you can win, you have to not lose?
Yep.
Before you can win, you have to entertain me. Give me something that I want to see. And I would say under five, I would only need one hand to pull out entertaining plays from this game. Because I would include Ramondre Stevenson's touchdown run, 33 yards. Nice run.
Nice
right?
Play.
Christian Gonzalez's interception undercutting the route.
They should bench him every week.
Was he really benched or did he just not start?
He didn't play like the first
four plays or whatever, three plays?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is that really a benching? That's the lamest benching, like, that I'd like to have Gerard Mayo as a parent.
It was very performative, I think. I don't think there was actually any teeth behind
it. But he didn't fumble. Did I win my bet?
He had 12 carries to 6 for Antonio Gibson.
Didn't you bet that he was going to fumble in this game?
Did I?
Yeah. I think you owe me a six-pack.
What was I going to? I must have gotten set because for them to keep on fumbling.
If he had fumbled, I would have given you a six-pack.
Nah, but that doesn't square up because guys don't fumble every game.
Doesn't matter. He didn't fumble.
A keg or something. Fine. All right.
I'm not sure.
Go back over the tape. Did
you see the photos? I'm not sure it's totally cleaned up. There was one run where the ball is like, he's holding it like this.
Yeah,
he's cupping it like he's freaking dunking it in an NBA dunk contest. And I was like, wow, one finger touches that, and he's got his fumble in his fifth straight game. So all is not well that didn't end well.
The only fumble was Gonzalez on the what would have been the second interception of the game in the end zone. He's got it in his hands, and then Hill knocked it out of his hands.
But that's not really a fumble.
It's not really a fumble, but it was kind of a fumble. Like, that was the closest thing.
There's a difference between a cornerback not having security on the ball and your workhorse running back. Like, that's his whole job is to hold on to the ball 20-plus times a game with people coming at him.
Right.
I'm still frustrated. Like, it was... I didn't want to do the post-game show last night because it wasn't even a... No, not at all. Because I can't even really express what my energy was going into that because it's just like almost resignation.
Yeah.
I thought they would stink. They stink. And we're not a third of the way through the season yet. They're getting more banged up. There's no reason to believe there's entertainment on. It's literally.
They teased us in week one is the worst part, too, because that's why we have any hope at all. You know, like that's why
you
put any sort of stock into this. If they had gone out and the Bengals kicked their ass, we wouldn't be here in week five talking about, you know, we're resigned to whatever. Like we got a little glimpse. We got a little hope. A little bit, and even in the next week, you said it. I mean, that was a game that they
winnable
gagged
game.
Away. Two bad games, and now here you have the Miami Dolphins, who are scoring less points than you are at home. And you have most of your guys. Like, I mean, not the Dolphins had their quarterback out. You had a couple of injuries, but you had most of your starters out there that you wanted to have play.
And you got your offensive line kind of back, even though it was a totally new lineup. You're getting some of the guys you actually want on the field in positions, and they weren't horrific. They weren't terrible. They're not good. I'm not telling you they're good. But as far as offensive line performances go, this might have been their best of the season. And you mentioned the Bengals. The Bengals are 1-4, just like you.
Yep.
Does that feel the same?
Nope.
Because I see their quarterback.
Do they have talent?
Like, and their quarterback threw 5 touchdown passes, and their star receiver is going like 80 yards and making plays. And meanwhile, their quarterback is like, we are not a championship caliber football team. You're also not a 1-4 football team.
Right.
I know a 1-4 football team. I watch it every week. This is a... in my opinion, 0-5 football team, really. But Their record says they're 1-4. That's the other thing that's going to piss me off as the season rolls on. If they go 1-16 and I lose my 0-17 bet because of that stupid week one.
Well, at least you lost it early. It'd be worse to get to the end and have them win week 17.
I don't know what would be worse.
That would be worse.
Because I'm right.
Because then you'd be like blowing off all the cash out opportunities and everything. You'd be like, no, I got
this. That's
true. 0-17, bam, and then they lose. That would be worse. Come on, that would definitely be worse.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Whether I was right or wrong about the actual betting of going 0-17, 0-17 was in play for this team.
Your instincts
and that's
were,
what I said.
Were correct, I think, because this seems like one of their last winnable games.
Yeah,
this seems like maybe the last.
Right, time. Like everybody goes, oh, you know, the Jaguars aren't very good. I don't know. I saw Trevor Lawrence hitting Brian Thomas in stride down the sideline for a big play. Like that's what I'm talking about. Everywhere I look, I see entertainment. I see big plays. I see things happening, except for the Patriots and the Dolphins. I'll wrap the Dolphins in there.
Yeah,
the Dolphins are not an entertaining football team, and they're worse off than you. Because they have their head coach who's supposed to be a genius. This was sort of predictable. Alex Van Pelt has never done this, and he has nothing to work with. So other than that, you know, how's the offense, Mrs. Lincoln,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Really. I mean, that's about where we're at. And defensively. You know, defensively, this was not a bad game until that last drive. And that last drive, I think, really, in a lot of ways for me, you thought it was a bad game for the defense?
I mean, you gave up almost 200 yards rushing.
Right. Met most of it on that last drive. I mean,
what, they gave up like 60 on that last drive, so they gave up a buck 30. The other, when you approach 200 yards rushing allowed on the ground for a team that I don't know what they're good at now. I don't, you know, excuse, non-excuse, whatever you want to call it. Juwan Bentley out, Jabril Peppers out, Kyle Duggar out,
right.
Christian Barmore out, Matthew Judon plays for the Falcons. I mean, what's that? Six of your projected starters coming into the season aren't playing, something like
part,
that.
Yeah.
So I understand the reality of it, but you still have Devon Godshaw. You still have Jelani Tavai. You brought in Mapu, who's a third-round pick, and I know he's making his season debut, but you still have Gonzalez and Jones and Jones and those guys. You have more talent on defense still, right?
Guys that you paid. You
know, you still have more talent on defense than offense.
Did you hear Josh Uche's name once yesterday?
12 men on the field when he's running off like this.
The only time.
I got to get off, and I didn't.
That was the one
time. And I don't know how that happens.
Like, I think he even – didn't he have a sack yesterday? Like, I don't even remember that. I don't remember him doing anything. I barely heard his name.
I don't really remember him doing anything.
Dietrich Wise, I don't remember seeing
I remember him getting run over that one play where –
yeah.
I forgot who it was. It Wright, the rookie, just lowered his head. And Dietrich Wise, who I think is a big, imposing dude.
Big dude.
Took a helmet to the chest and just, like, got blown backwards like he was in a movie getting exploded out of the screen.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, 15 points, holding a team to 15 points looks good until you remember it's the Dolphins who have been averaging 11 this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did. That was a
better game. They had like 50% more than their normal points.
It was against you and your defense, which is a sad way of looking at it, but that's just the truth.
And can we get into – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I know you're going
to
give the number.
I was trying to give the number.
We want to talk to people. This whole idea – that the defense and the special teams were good enough and the offense wasn't, that Gerard Mayo is kind of selling, I could not disagree more.
Special teams missed the easy field goal.
Yep.
You know, they had some great plays, and obviously I think they were the best of the three, but they still missed the field goal.
And they had 12 men on the field on a punt. That's a turnover on downs.
Right.
Like, that's a turnover. That's basically the same as muffing the punt. You gave the ball back to the offense. Not as good field position, but you gave it back. It got covered up because I think the Gonzalez interception was one or two plays later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's unacceptable, and it's not even a physical mistake. Every football team on the planet on Fridays during their walkthrough goes through every single team. Like, okay, punt team, get out there.
Yep.
Punt return, get out. How do you have 12 men? Like, how does that happen at the NFL level? And we had been talking about that unit being so good. They were sort of removed from the criticism the last few weeks.
It's one guy. It's Schooler. I mean, he's the guy, right?
Well, it was Sly, Behringer, Schooler who were all good.
Yep.
Now Sly's out because he missed a 30-something yard field goal, so you don't get to be part of the good anymore. I still think Behringer and Schooler are part of the good. But overall, when you miss a field goal in a low-scoring game, and when you jump, I mean, you have too many men on the field on a punt return,
yeah,
that's not good. That's
no.
not good enough to win. And defensively, they drove it right down your throats. So to me, this was a complimentary loss. This was all three phases because in a game that was, what was it, like 7-3, and then it was 10-6, and like whatever it was the whole time, was a one-score game, winnable game. So any play that you make a mistake in any of the three phases is losable, is contributing to losing. And all three phases, this is not just on Jacoby Brissett and the offense.
It went 3-0, 7-3, 10-3, 10-6, 10-9, 15-10.
Right.
It.
Like, those are all one-score games. So the mistakes are magnified, and the mistakes came in all three phases. I disagree with Gerard Mayo kind of, to me, letting defense and special teams off the hook. And then Devon Godshaw comes out, and he's clearly a parrot. Whatever Gerard Mayo says, he kind of says with a little more gusto and a little more magnification. But
he goes off on his own sometimes, too.
A little bit, a little bit. But, no, this was a team loss. Y'all stunk. And I would add the fourth phase, the sideline. The sideline was horrific. Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt, the game management.
Another terrible end of the first half.
End of the first half and end of the game.
They just don't. I mean, it's like every week.
Situational football, they embarrass themselves every week. It's bad.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a very rough stretch here for the Patriots, which we talked about changing the subject, right? Didn't we talk about this all week long with the mutiny stuff going on? What's a good way to change the subject? What's a good way to get the fans back on your side? What's a good way to energize this place a little bit? We'll see. Maybe that's on the horizon. I can tell you what's not energizing anybody, and that is the Jabril Pepper situation. We'll have more from that from Stiz here and what's trending, and then we'll get into the latest details. TMZ, you also got Boston Herald. A lot of people reporting on it now. The details are not good and may spell the end of Jabril Peppers here in New England. We'll get to all of that right after Stiz tells you what's trending. That was Gerard Mayo earlier this morning right here in this room with the Greg Hill Show, and he was talking about the Jabril Pepper situation, which is not something anyone knew about until this morning, despite the fact that this all took place Saturday night, early yesterday morning, I guess. Jabril Peppers was arrested. His girlfriend told the cops that he was abusive towards her, physically abusive. He is denying this, and the two sides basically are this. The girlfriend, who is a local girl, I don't know much about her, I don't know anything about her other than that this happened, alleged that Peppers got violent with her around 4 a.m. after she got a phone call during lovemaking between the two of them. And it was from someone that I guess he didn't like. Authorities say she said that he demanded she leave the apartment, pushed her out of the bedroom while they were both naked. Moments later, she claimed he put his hands on her neck and pushed her head against the wall. The whole time, she said he appeared out of his mind and had a serious expression. According to the docs, the woman stated that violence continued following the outburst as Peppers pushed her down a set of stairs. She said that he threw down her handbag and cell phone seconds later, but when she put on a pair of sweats before leaving, he came down, ripped off the pants, and demanded her to leave the apartment. When authorities arrived on scene, they saw a woman that had visible scratches on her kneecaps. Her forehead area was red. Peppers was arrested at the scene for, among other things, assault and battery on an intimate partner. When officers took him to a nearby jail, they located a clear plastic bag containing a white powder substance inside his wallet that they claim he told them was cocaine. Peppers ultimately was booked on four separate charges. However, his side is that the woman was acting erratic, refused to leave. She fell by herself on the stairs because she was intoxicated. He denied pushing her and said that she was making those allegations to destroy his career. There was a court appearance today. His attorney said that they have evidence that contradicts the victim's story and that will fully exonerate the client. Peppers obviously didn't play yesterday. He was ruled out as one of the inactives that we heard about at 10th or 11:30, and there was no mention of any of this. This was all come to light here this morning, and it looks like a really... really bad situation, or really just in terms of this team and their commitment over the years to domestic violence and not tolerating that. I think that this is going to certainly, I don't know if it's going to test it very much. We'll see what they end up doing. But this is a brutal situation for a captain of this team, Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, that's a key aspect of this, him being a captain, the leadership role. Quite honestly, been one of my favorite players to watch the last couple of years. His style of play, physicality, energy that he brings to the field. I think a lot of people sort of embraced him over the last couple of years. We're happy to see him resign.
Yeah.
And I also think there's two issues here. So we have the domestic violence aspect of this, which most certainly can be a he said, she said. The lawyer even alluded to, if you saw the, for lack of a better word, perp walk or whatever, out of the
right,
courtroom
out of the court,
video. Somebody said, you know, video evidence, and he kind of acknowledged maybe there was video evidence that might exonerate that aspect. You also have the cocaine aspect.
Right.
Which I think the NFL will probably care about. You know, even if he were exonerated and whatever, like she retracts her statements, however that part of this goes down, if he acknowledged to the police that it's his cocaine.
And it seems like the police are saying he did.
Right.
Acknowledge that, yeah.
I feel like that right there is probably a suspendable offense if that plays out, even on its own. Forget about the other aspect.
Right.
So I, you got to have some doubts as to if or when he will ever suit up for the Patriots defense again this season.
Yes, and not to be callous about this, but there are two sides to the domestic story.
Sure.
There's one side, is there cocaine in your wallet? What is it? It's cocaine. Okay, well then
right.
That's it. I mean, that one's pretty open and shut. You don't have to do a whole big investigation there. You got to make sure that he's right and that it actually is cocaine, and then, you know, you go from there. But with this other thing, it's going to be more complicated than that because these things always are, and that's just, you know, that's an unfortunate part of it. And I don't know. We saw with the Bruins and Milan Lucic a similar situation here last year, and they were pretty quick to kind of push him to the side, and then eventually that was it. You didn't hear from him again. Jabril Peppers, again, a captain on this team, a guy who was identified as a leader on this defense and a leader on the team. This is going to be a little different from Jack Jones or, you know, some of these other guys in the past. This is a bit more serious, I think, just because of his standing on the team.
And I think the media, the way they were asking questions of Jerod Mayo this morning, we're certainly at least alluding to or going down the road of, was he actually inactive because of this incident?
Right.
They were asking about injury reports and when you found out. And Jerod kept saying, well, he was dealing with an injury all week. And because he did say, for whatever it may be worth, that Jabril Peppers called him personally Saturday morning. So pretty quickly after this happened, if it Friday night into Saturday morning, he contacted his head coach, and I guess he's got that going for him, right? He was at least trying to get ahead of it and be upfront with his team and his coach about it. But, yeah, I have a hard time believing we're going to be seeing him very soon if the cocaine side of this is accurate. He was asked, Jerod Mayo was asked, is he welcome in the building?
Mm-hmm.
And he did say, right now we have no reason to believe he would not be welcome in the building, I believe. I'm paraphrasing, but I believe that was basically the answer he gave.
There's like a list, right? A team exempt list or a commissioner's
exempt
list, right?
List.
Each team can do that, or does it go through the league? Like,
and it feels like it could go down that road, especially, as I said, there's two issues.
These are serious allegations.
And both of them are serious.
Yeah.
It's not weed, right?
Right.
I think, like, weed would be looked at differently this day and age and whatever, the rules and the, like, cocaine is still a more significant drug. And if he told the cops that's cocaine, as you said, I guess he could be wrong, and maybe they actually have to test it, although I think that's
weird. Yeah, like
weird.
Some guy ripped them off and sold them something.
I guess,
something
and they're like, that's actually powdered sugar, sir. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that would be an even stranger story in some
ways.
Yes,
which I don't think is what happened here, but,
Doesn't seem likely, no. Doesn't seem likely.
Guy just signed a big contract for millions of dollars. If he wants to find cocaine, he probably can.
I would agree. So, it's looking like you're going to be playing without Jabril Peppers moving forward. And I know you got Marte Mapu back, and you're starting to get in. Jerod Mayo actually talked about that there is some benefit to Del Pettis and Hawkins and Mapu having to get some reps because they're probably going to have to get some reps moving forward.
Yeah, and they'll move on, obviously. They, you know, you have to. It's the way it goes with these things and with football teams in general. You know, everybody could be out at any moment for any reason.
Yeah, can we go down that road for just a second, though?
Sure.
Like, I had some people text me like, oh, you know, like, why does it seem like we always have, like, bad guys on the team or something? And I'm like, first of all, every team has them.
Sure.
In the NFL,
definitely.
In college, like, I mean, watch the Florida thing, like, all these big-time programs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be negative or a cynic, but they all have guys that are getting in trouble
bad
at various
guys.
Levels.
Yeah, bad
and
guys.
The other issue is these things get magnified when you're bad and when you lose. If you're winning games, they tend to be forgotten, brushed under the radar. You just kind of move forward because you're distracted by success. Right? Like,
right.
They had guys over, not necessarily captains. I think that makes it
sometimes
a little
it makes it like Ray Rice, you know, because that was a good player and a good team.
Sure.
That was a big deal. What was
and there
the
was
guy,
video.
What's the guy's name in the Cowboys who became an MMA fighter?
Oh.
What the hell's his name?
Greg Hardy.
Yep. Greg Hardy. Like, that was a big story. You know, when domestic violence gets involved, I don't think whether you're good or bad, that becomes a thing.
Sure.
You know? Like,
it becomes a thing. And the Ray Rice one was because of video. Video makes everything blows up when there's video. Although the lawyer, I guess, is indicating maybe video could set him free or exonerate him in this case.
I'm interested in just what that could even mean, you know, like,
and
based
what
on
video?
What the allegations are, would you video? Do you have a
video in your bedroom?
Right. You know,
why?
Like, how's
is that okay?
You guys want to hear the lawyer?
Yeah,
sure.
Let's hear him. Let's hear him coming out.
Mr. Peppers, do you want to comment on the assault charges?
He's not going to comment now, but what I said in the courtroom, I'll repeat, that we have evidence that completely contradicts the alleged victim's story. And I expect my client to be fully exonerated.
And it was video evidence?
Yes, and other evidence as well. Okay.
All right, not to be flippant here, but when Jack Jones got in trouble, she was outside screaming in the media's face. My client didn't do this. You're all making
right.
assumptions. Blah, 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 blah. Very aggressive, very tonally different than this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know who this lawyer is. But I know it's not Rosie, what's her name? Like, that's, you know, like, they brought her in, and she did her thing, and that
yep.
was... that was part of it. This, I don't know, maybe they, because they knew about it before we did. Like, they were involved and informed about this, and the team goes, all right, well, we got to get a lawyer over there, and it wasn't her. I don't know. I mean, I just, does that mean anything to you?
No, I'm guessing this guy is probably a pretty good criminal defense attorney.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure, yeah, listen, I mean, he's
a multi-million-dollar pro football player. Well, I don't know if he works for the team or just Jabril Peppers or whatever.
So, right, yeah,
he's involved in this. I don't think he's just some run of the, he didn't go to the phone book and be like lawyer.
Right, he's not like a public defender.
Right, no. I bet this guy has a pretty good track record, but I don't really understand how video evidence is going to exonerate him from the cocaine part of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, is he ignoring that part? Is he just fixating on the domestic violence because that's the bigger issue right now, potentially? It's hard for me to envision this ending well for Jabril Peppers.
Yeah,
I guess that's how
I'm with you.
And the camera thing. What camera? Did he start videotaping? Was he live Instagramming like freaking Shannon Sharp? Like, what? Do you have cameras in your boudoir, as they would say? Were you making a sex tape? Because this at least started in a, well, I guess I'm assuming. I don't know if it started in a bedroom. I guess it could have been the kitchen or the living room. Or,
yeah, right. Yeah,
people do whatever they do.
It's true.
Whatever time they want to do it. So, yeah, I guess I'll take that back. I won't presume
all
it's
right,
a bedroom.
That statement is retracted. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Yeah, Jabril Peppers, I think the likely outcome here is he probably gets cut. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Gerard Mayo was asked this morning about the quarterback position going forward, more so than any other time over the last couple of weeks. He answered it in a way that implied Drake May may be getting the start this upcoming weekend. We'll get to that next. All right, that was head coach Gerard Mayo this morning with the Greg Hill Show right here in this very room. And he had some comments after the game as well regarding the quarterback situation. And I didn't think any of them sounded particularly strong for Jacoby Brissett by comparison to the way he's spoken about this topic in the past. And that's really what we all have to base it on, because he's been asked this question about, I don't know, 600 million times.
Yeah.
And he's answered it the same way. Mostly in the not during camp. I feel like during camp the answers jumped around a little bit about who was better, who was playing better, who was earning the job, how to earn the job, stuff like that. I felt like that was a little less on the nose as he was since the season started. And since the season started, Jacoby's the quarterback. I'm not considering a change. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's been for 5 weeks now. That was not the way that question was answered here, and it was not the way it was answered yesterday. And that may be opening a door to something here.
Yeah, I think the door is wide open. In fact, if I had to bet, if you made me bet right now, I'd bet Drake May starts on Sunday against Houston. There were a bunch of different. There was that. There was not good enough. We're in a solution business.
Right.
We got to sit down and find solutions. And you and I have talked about this. Some areas don't have solutions. This one does.
Yeah.
You know, a solution is like another way we can go.
It's you,
like,
don't have another left tackle to put in who's
right.
going to be
you've
good.
You've tried them all.
Right,
You've tried all the solutions.
You got a bunch of guys off the scrap heap,
right.
And that's it. Yeah.
This is one where you have a solution you haven't turned to. And the thing that actually jumped out to me is there was an answer about Jacoby where he led with, again, I respect the hits he's taken. It was very over-the-top positive,
right.
And to me it felt like, it's not you, Jacoby, it's us. Like, I appreciate everything you've done. It was almost a thank you for your service. Like, you've taken the lumps for us for a month and a half, and now we're going to go in a different direction, but I still respect and appreciate everything you've done as the starting quarterback through five games. And I think it's the right decision, honestly, because I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, that we've had this discussion ad nauseum. Oh, you're going to break him. And, like, he even there was the final question or the second-to-last question of his press conference with the regular media, the Zoom. Bob Soucy asked, you got the offensive line. You moved Mike Onwenu into guard. You moved the tackle over. You got low back. Your line was maybe a little bit better. And Kendrick Bourne was on the field. Are those things that might make it more acceptable to put a rookie quarterback in there, or some steps in the right direction surrounding a young quarterback? And he said something to the effect of, that's possible. Or it was like two words. And
yeah,
he just acknowledged, yeah, that there's some logic in that. And I don't know how much of a difference Kendrick Bourne being on the field makes or doesn't make in terms of Drake May. Now he can play because Bourne is back off of PUP. Like, that doesn't really make any sense to me. But I just feel like there are a lot of little tea leaves that could be read towards Drake May starting on Sunday.
Yeah. That's a fair assessment, Bob.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment is what he said. Good drop, Stiz.
Yeah,
that's a fair assessment to say Bourne is back and the line got solidified just a little bit. It was like, yeah, Bob, That's the reason I'll give when I tell you we're starting Drake May. Good one, Bob. Thanks. I needed that.
Very good. All right. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got room for you here if you'd like to jump into the conversation. Let's start it off with Ryan in Boston. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Let me just start by saying I'm a huge fan of the Major Four. In regards to the Patriots, I probably average three games a year, two home, one away. This year I had the audacity to go to San Fran like a moron. Anyway, would say cap is crap. Robert Kraft says it's real, and then you don't spend the money that we all know is there. This is a horrendously built team. It's been like that from the get-go. Wolf needs to go. Kraft needs to go. I don't care which one stays. One of the Krafts needs to go. Robin needs to stop meddling. It's getting ridiculous. There's no way you can justify spending $250 to go to a game to watch them get shellacked when I can sit on my couch, drink $5 beers, no climate issues. The NFL made the at-home experience too good to justify going to a crap team, crap game. It doesn't make any sense. I said the same thing when the Red Sox came calling.
Sorry. Yeah, listen, now you're right, and thanks for the call. I think that it's going to be something that the Crafts are going to have to face pretty soon here in terms of the tenure of this team and the way things are going. We talked to Fitzy before the game. He walks around the tailgate, and he was like, it's like a funeral out here. It was a beautiful day, you know. It was a nice enough day, and it was just, he was like, this is like a morgue, and that was before a game that people thought they actually had a chance of winning, a game that they were favored in until the Mostert news came out that he was healthy, and then it swung back over to Miami. But for most of the week, the Patriots were considered the favorite in the game, and there was still maybe a thought that you might see Drake May. Like, there were reasons to want to go to that game and be excited about that game, and it just seems like people were not. As for the roster, I was thinking back to Elliott Wolf's offseason acquisitions here. They're appalling. I mean, they're really, there's no other way to put it. Jacoby Brissett, Okorafor, Osborne, who was, I think, a healthy scratch yesterday, Austin Hooper, who's whatever he is, I mean, a backup tight end, Leverett, who was, I think, the worst out of the guys on the line yesterday, Taki, who hasn't played, Gibson, who's the only one giving you anything at all. He's a change of pace back. The rest of those guys are either useless, they quit the team, or they haven't gotten on the field yet. I mean, that's what we're talking about, and that was your offseason. That's who you spent your money on, outside of re-signing your own guys.
I enjoy the, or quit the team. What is this, high school? Like a kid just stopped showing up because he doesn't want to play?
I mean, that's what Okorafor did.
I know, yeah. But it's, when you say it, it's just, it is laughable. I would include Hooper in the positives. Like, he's a solid
touchdown, right? I guess, yeah.
Backup, veteran, tight end,
sure.
Whatever. On a good team, I think you'd be like, oh, it's nice. He was a nice little addition. He contributed a couple different games.
Mm-hmm.
But on this team, he doesn't move the needle. And, you know, so, Curtis said something this morning to Mayo about cap space because they were making jokes about no cap, lying. You know, the kids say it, and yep. Now our head coach says it apparently in interviews, and our morning show says it in interviews. But Curtis was like, and cap space, ha, ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha.
And Gerard goes, and a lot of players out there or something. It was hard to hear because everybody was talking.
Right.
I think it was a snarky comeback of like, who are we going to spend the cap space on? Like, there's no players, which is true now.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always true.
No.
There were options. Were they great options? Were they even regrettable options? Maybe. You may have regretted Calvin Ridley.
A lot of that money you would have to spend in overpaying for players.
Correct.
That's how it would have been.
Mediocre players.
You don't like to do that, but that's, you had the space to do it, and you could have done it, and you opted not to because you didn't want to get a bad deal.
And you are not a destination. Gerard right. has admitted that. Once we start winning games, I disagree with him. I don't even think you have to start winning games, and this ties us back into what we're talking about. Drake May. I truly believe Drake May can be a difference maker in your desirability. Still free agency. You're still going to have to pay through the nose because that's what free agency is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could have gotten Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley or some marquee free agent this offseason. I just don't think they were desperate enough to say, yeah, I'm going to go to New England and play with Alex Van Pelt and Jacoby Brissett. If you play Drake May right now, the sooner you get him out there, the sooner he can make plays, the sooner he can create buzz, and the sooner, I really believe players sometimes are as simple as fans.
Yeah.
Like, we see highlights. We all live on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can put a 30-second clip of Drake May rolling out, throwing across his body, deep down the field, touchdown to somebody.
Yeah, who then also gets their own highlight.
Right.
And then it spreads. It's like a little virus. Everybody's
Correct.
Got a highlight, you know?
Correct. And then it's like, hey, they got something going in New England. They got that yeah. young quarterback, May, who makes plays. You may sign there and then regret it to find out, he's really not as good as I thought he was from that one play I saw. But I do think there's value in that because in this offseason, I think, was a perfect storm of wasted cap space. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a lot of talent out there. I don't think there was anybody wanting to come to the Patriots first year post-Belichick for Gerard Mayo. And I don't think there were a lot of players that the team even really wanted. So they weren't looking to overspend.
No, just the wrong guys.
Yeah, yeah, truly. And most guys didn't want to come here. It was like a perfect storm that led to, wow, we really got a boatload of cap space and we kind of have a crappy roster. Maybe we should have done something differently. But it just it was not ideal. But I agree with the caller. You don't care about that. That's where I get back to, and you like to make fun of me. Don't tell me how the sausage is made, right?
Right.
I don't care. I don't want to know. I literally just want to walk up to the cart, and you hand me a sausage, and I put a little mustard on it, and I'm drunk, and it soaks up the alcohol in my belly, right? That's all I want. And you're not getting to that point. There's no sausage. Nothing was made in the offseason. And if there is sausage, it's rancid and green, and there's bugs and worms coming out of it.
Yeah, it's good. That's a good way of describing this team right now. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. I don't expect that Jacoby Brissett will be here at 3 o'clock.
We never know.
The time, but we never know, and we never know if it'll even be him or not. So we'll see what goes on here. If we don't talk to Jacoby Brissett, we'll continue with your phone calls right after this.